Psalm 42. The 150 psalms that comprise the book of Psalms have been divided into five books. Book 1 is Psalm 1 through 41. Book 2 is Psalm 42 to 72. Book 3 is Psalm 73 to Psalm 89. Book 4 is Psalm 90 to Psalm 106. And Book 5 is Psalm 107 to 150. Each book ends with a doxology that blesses or praises God, and three of the five books end with the words, "Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel." The Psalms were collected over a period of time and were systematized and organized for the worship services of Israel. The Psalms are the prayer and praise book for the worship services of Israel. The earliest manuscript evidence of this fivefold division came from the scrolls found in the Qumran caves known as the Dead Sea Scrolls, so this division of the Psalms existed before the New Testament era began. Now we may notice that Psalm 42 begins with a superscription, "For the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah." Now a maskil was a designation of a specific type of psalm. The Hebrew word from which maskil is delivered or derived is one that means to carefully look at something for the purpose of understanding it so that the end result may be success and happiness. A maskil superscription means that the psalm needs to be very carefully studied and understood because it is one that can bring success and happiness to an individual. The sons of Korah were descendants of Kohat, the son of Levi, and they were also descendants of the rebel Korah who conspired against Moses. So this is pure grace in having them being involved in God's leadership. These Levites had been appointed by David and specifically were given the responsibility to lead the singing and playing of the instruments at the worship services. There were 4,000 musicians appointed by David who were responsible to offer musical praise to the Lord every morning and every evening. And obviously the sons of Korah were part of this. Now we do not specifically know whether the sons of Korah actually wrote these psalms or whether they were specifically written for them. They were obviously a family that was very musically skilled. What we do know is that one psalm in Book 2 is written by Asaph, 20 psalms in Book 2 were written by David, 3 psalms in Book 2 are anonymous, and one psalm in Book 2 is written by Solomon. Many scholars believe that even though Psalm 42 and 43 are different chapters in both the Hebrew Masoretic text and the Greek Septuagint, they should be considered as one psalm. The reasons are as follows. There's no superscription before Psalm 43. There's a repetition of the same words. There's a flow of thought from despair of worship to an expectancy to once again be restored to worship. There is a consistency of the lament in both psalms. And some of the Hebrew manuscripts list this as one psalm. It's no wonder that many commentators treat both of these psalms as one. And the way we're looking at it, we're going to expound them independently. It's very possible this psalm was actually written by David for the choir director. Charles Spurgeon believed this. In fact, he said, "This psalm is so Davidic that it swells of the son of Jesse." The main point of the psalm is this: when we find our soul is depressed because enemies are oppressing us by mocking our relationship with God, we must keep our hope in him, for in his time he will help us and turn our sorrow into praise. Now this psalm may be understood by breaking it down into some laments. First of all, there's the lament for corporate worship. Listen to this. "As a deer pants for a flowing stream, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me continually, 'Where's your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." When we're depressed, the most urgent need of our soul is for intimate communion with God. It's obvious from these verses that the author of the psalm had a real heart's desire to know God and worship God. The writer longed to appear before God. He longed to lead Israel in procession to the house of God and worship God. Look at the description of how much the writer wanted to go to the house of God and worship. His soul panted for it like a deer for water. David had lived in the mountains, and he literally seen deer panting for water, and he would certainly be in the position to use that analogy. This is what the soul really thirsts for in a relationship with the living God. He wept because he could no longer go worship day and night. It's clear from verse 3 that the writer was being mocked by his enemies and it wasn't safe for him to go to worship. A couple times we can observe things in these verses. God's presence is very real in corporate worship. And those really right with God desire to have corporate worship. Just as a drunk is drawn to a bar, one who is godly is drawn to worship services. Frankly, we live in a time when many members of the church could care less about going to church. They have no real heart for God. They have no real heart to want to know God's word. But when one is right with God, they will have a soul that desires to know God and worship God. And in verse 5, it informs us that the key to getting out of that state of depression is to maintain hope in God and wait on him for his help. God wants his people to worship him, and he will make that possible. Look at the next lament. It's a lament for deliverance. It says, "And my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon and Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." Again, we think this could be an indication that this is a Davidic psalm because David often found himself in a geographical location that was far from the temple of Jerusalem in corporate worship of God. Carefully notice verse 6, "When our soul is in despair, it is good to remember how God has previously and powerfully worked." And this is precisely what the writer of this psalm was doing. He was remembering the power of God from the land of Jordan. Now, this specific area was an area that David crossed into when he was being pursued. David spent a lot of time in the Jordan River Valley and obviously moved north toward Mount Hermon and was able to look at its impressive peaks from Mount Mizar. David did a lot of his hiding in the mountain regions, and he was thinking about the fact that God had protected him. However, verse 7 reveals that David was experiencing deep trouble and trials. God in his sovereignty had allowed the threatening waves to roll over him. Although David never literally felt the waves like Jonah, he did find himself in similar life-threatening situations. And David's hope was totally and completely in God. David's hope was that God would deliver him. And in his grace and his mercy and in his loving kindness, David knew that God could give him a song in the night. He was praying to God for him to deliver his very life. And when we find ourselves in deep despair in our own soul, there are two critical things needed for survival. We need to remember the times that dramatically seen God care for us and provide for us. We need to store up some memories of times we have seen God provide dramatically. And then we need to pray and ask God for his help. But then there's the lament for enemies. Look at verse 9. "I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they continue to say to me continually, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." In any age, people who love God will have their share of enemies. Godly people can expect to be oppressed and prosecuted by those who are ungodly. And one of the major causes of David's depression was evil opposing enemies and adversaries. What made David even more depressed is that some of his enemies were in his own group. Enemies can make life miserable for you, especially when you thought they were your friends. I've never lost sleep over some unsaved enemy who is out against me, but I have lost sleep over some who were in the church who had turned against me. And this is what David had experienced. David was being oppressed by enemies. These enemies were mocking him and his relationship with God. They were laughing about his trouble and saying, "Where's your God?" Their verbal assaults were relentless. But there are steps that he took. He talked openly and honestly with God. He talked openly and honestly and theologically with himself, and then he continued to maintain his hope in God and wait for help from God. There's some great lessons to learn from this psalm. We need to know that when our soul is depressed, we need to continue to corporately worship. And when our soul is depressed, we need to remember times God has cared for us. And when our soul is depressed, we need to talk to God. And then when our soul is depressed, we need to continually hope in God and wait on God.